What I want to do today is just give a general hakdama, which we're not going to finish this time, to Hilchas Shabbos. I decided we're not going to use any sefer per se and go through it because it's too complicated like that. I'm going to go malacha by malacha and mention the relevant things, and that's how we're going to learn this. But beforehand, in order to appreciate why there are, if you do it like this, it's easy, it's better, and if you do it like this, sometimes if you don't understand the background, it seems ridiculous, right? You know, if you're not allowed to make dough, or you're not allowed to make batter on Shabbos, okay? It's a malach, lisha. But if you use the backhand of a spoon and you don't mix it right, regular, or if it's a soft mixture, it's different than if it's a hard mixture. So what's the difference? I mean, Lamaitha, you're mixing the thing the same way. What difference does it make if you do it crosswise, or you do it around, or you do it with the back of the spoon, or the front of the spoon? What's the difference? The result is the same. If it's a malach, it's a malach. So I just want to explain why those things make a difference. So first, there are 39 avos malachos that we learn from the Mishkan. Right? Torah said the Isser of Shabbos, right? Osasa kol malacha, and the Binyan HaMishkan together, to tell me that what's called Malacha are those things that went into building the Mishkan, right? Either they had to actually do them, or under normal circumstances they would have had to do them, right, had they built the Mishkan without any Nisim or whatever. They may not have actually had to do those things in the Midbar, but under normal circumstances those things would have had to be done. Some Rishonim say that it's only things that went into the actual construction of the Mishkan that are considered, and not things that went into the maintenance of the Mishkan, like Karbanos and things like that. Others hold that even the maintenance of the Mishkan, the Karbanos, were included in learning these 39 Malachas. Whatever it is, there are 39 basic kinds of activity that the Torah calls Avos Malacha. Those are the things that were in the Mishkan itself. There are Toldos. A tolda means the Torah authored not only the thing that was in the Mishkan, but anything similar to that, that the rabbi saw was similar, either because it's the same action, or because it has the same purpose. Some toldos are toldos because of the same exact action, and some things are not the same action. For instance, planting. The av malacha planting is taking a seed, putting it in the ground, that's called planting. Right? A tolda is watering grass. It's not similar to putting a seed in the ground, but it's the same idea. The purpose of putting a seed in the ground is that something should sprout and grow. And here you are enhancing growth by watering plants. That's also a tolda of Zoraya. If you do an av or a tolda, if you do it b'nezid, and you're warned and there are witnesses, you get stoned to death. If you do it b'nezid and there are no witnesses, or the witnesses and you weren't warned, you get kares, right? It's the same thing as if you eat chametz on Pesach or eat on Yom Kippur, you get kares. And if you do it b'shogeg, you forgot it was Shabbos, or you didn't know that this thing was prohibited, you thought it was okay to do this, right? That's shogeg. Then you bring a korban chatas. That's for the Torah prohibitions. In addition, there are other things that could be Torah prohibitions, but they're not death penalties. One of them could be tchumin, that if you walk a certain distance on Shabbos outside a city, right, past 12 mil outside the city, could be a Torah prohibition. The tchum of 2,000 amos is for sure only rabbinic. But it could be that a tchum of 12 mil, there's some Rishonim who hold that's the Torah, but if you do that, you don't get a death penalty. It's just an isser. It's a Torah isser, but it's not a death penalty. Mechamer. Your animal is carrying something and you're leading it, guiding it. That's only a lav. It's not a death penalty. It's also from the Torah. According to one opinion, lighting fires on Shabbos is only a negative commandment. It's not a death penalty. We don't pass them like that. And shlisas behemto, or your eved, or your child does work for you, is only an essay. Torah says that, that's a lav. Lamanya nuach shorach v'chavah. You shouldn't let your animals do work. So if you're not guiding it or whatever, it's only an essay. There's a positive command to let your animal rest. And if you don't, then you're over not fulfilling that positive command. There's also a lav of not letting or your children do work or your slaves do work for you. And that's a lav also. It's not a, you know, not chayiv stila if your children do malacha for you, but you're over a lav. Okay. That we'll get to when yes, when not, when... Okay. And then there are two kinds of rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos. Not Torah at all. There is what's called a shvus. Shvus is, since the Torah said you should rest, so it gave the rabbis a big latitude of prohibiting things that would affect Shabbos being a day of rest and making it, it would be like a weekday. So many things the rabbis asked, not because we're afraid you're going to come to do something that's also on Shabbos, but just doing these things make it like a weekday. That's called the shvus. Right? Even though the word shvus really sometimes is used as a blanket term for all rabbinic prohibitions, it really applies to this specific kind of prohibition. Not something that the rabbis prohibited as a siog, as a fence. Right? Muktzah is pashtus, not a shvus. There's different opinions in muktzah. Muktzah is not a good example. You need a good example. Torah prohibits. That's a good example of something like muktzah. Catching animals that are normally caught for their hides or because you want to use the animal or whatever, right? Like catching deer. Right? People catch deer. People catch wild goats or things like that because they want to shech them and they whatever. But no people go around catching flies. The reason you catch flies is because you don't want the flies around your house. But people don't have fly collections. Right, and they don't, you know, save the flies for their wings to make coats out of or whatever. It's not done. It's not normal. It's not something that's normally caught. So really, from the Torah, you could spend the whole Shabbos catching flies, and you haven't been over anything. The rabbis prohibited catching flies on Shabbos.
Killing as well?
Right, killing is a different thing. So killing is, if you're killing the fly because you want to see the fly dead, right, it could be that there's an issur, of Nitzilus Neshama by flies, too. But catching them for sure is not. It's not the mino nitzo, not something that's normally caught, and therefore it's not also from the Torah. It's only prohibited things that are normal to trap. This is not normal trapping. So therefore it's only, but the rabbis came along and said if we let people trap flies, they may come to trap deer. They're not going to know the difference. So they asked trapping flies because maybe you'll come to do trap things that are trapped. Okay? So that's called a siyog. That's a rabbinic prohibition because we're afraid that if you do this action, you may come to do a Torah action, okay? Either because you'll mistake it and another time you'll do something that's awesome in the Torah. In other words, if you catch flies, there's no way that by catching flies you can do something that's awesome. But next time when you see a deer, you say, well, yesterday I could catch flies, today I can catch deer. And then you'll come to make a mistake. Or if we let you do this action, it's going to lead you to do something that's awesome from the Torah. Right? In other words, another example, you can pretty much catch a deer into a big area, right? A big corral in the backyard where you still can't, get it. It still can run around, but it's basically limited. Now it can only run around in your yard. That's not called trapping from the Torah. Trapping from the Torah means that you've trapped it enough where now you can get it just with one swoop. It can't get away from you. But if you trap it into a big area, it can get away. That's only rabbinic. But the rabbis were afraid if we let you trap it into a big area, you're going to end up trapping it into a small area at this time. Right? You'll bring it into the big area and eventually limit it even more. So here's a different kind of rabbinic prohibition. Not something we're afraid you can do at a different time, but this is going to lead you to do something that's also now. Okay? So that's a different kind of rabbinic prohibition. But all of those are rabbinic prohibitions. They're not avos or toldos. They are things that the rabbis authored either because they didn't want Shabbos to be like a weekday and they prohibited things from the under the Torah umbrella of Shvus, Tishbos, that you should rest, and certain things they prohibited as a siog, as a fence around the other malachas that if you do these things, you may come to do a malach. Okay. The next thing I wanted to go into is Melechet Machsheva. So I'm just going to mention it now and we'll save this for next time to go into detail. Melechet Machsheva means, we learn from the Mishkan that these are malachas. The Torah, when it describes the activities that were done in the Mishkan, they were done meleches machsheves. They were done with thought. They were not only thought, but it's, they were done in a way that was chashuv, that was
purposeful.
I guess, but because yeah, it was in a way that was dignified work. Okay, but there are things that would make these malachas not malachas mashevis. And if it's not malachas mashevis, then it's not what the Torah prohibited. It's only prohibited many times rabbinically and sometimes even permitted. So one of the conditions for a malacha to be a malacha, aside from the fact that it was in the Mishkan, it has to be done in a way that's dignified as it was done in the Mishkan. But if it's not done in a dignified way, and there are about 8 different possibilities, what's called not a dignified way, then it could be it's not prohibited from the Torah. Sometimes it's still prohibited rabbinically, and sometimes permitted. Next week we'll go into the 8 different categories of what's called not meleches machsheves, what the conditions of meleches machsheves are.